feel like it was just the other day that we spoke.
It was, wasn't it? And we were we were so much happier, and the sky was bluer, and my allergies were worse.
You're now clearer of mind.
Yes, I am much more sane and ready to propose radical changes.
Okie doke. Well, I mean, it's a strange week to do it when so little happened in this round of Champions League fixtures.
So little. I mean, such a nondescript game yesterday.
Yes, very much nothing spectacular to take from that match.
Yeah, finished 0-0.
1-1, like we both predicted.
I stopped watching in the 37th minute.
Well, in both a positive and negative way, I had some very poor decision-making with regard to my school scheduling, so I haven't been able to watch any midweek matches, which this week hasn't been the worst thing in the world. So, I understand you're tuning out.
I feel. No, but I watched the whole thing. I was able to quote-unquote, sneak it in at work. Luckily, they don't always need me so much, so I can, like, find a corner and just watch the game. This was bad.
Quite.
I'll start by asking you this. In your estimation, Rob, what used to make Atleti special? What was that one quality or several qualities that made Atletico such a fearsome opponent to go up against?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the main thing, more than anything else, is that they have this reputation as this team that played particularly defensively, but I think if you ask most teams in Europe that were in the Champions League the last few seasons, the team they wanted to play the least was probably Atletico. I mean, Real Madrid and Barcelona, we've seen over the years, can have their off days, but Atletico are generally going to give you a pretty tight game, and where they're going to beat you up. And in the past, they would dominate you on set pieces. That hasn't been the case for a while. But altogether, a pretty terrible experience for the opposing team, which I think is what made this team so fun to watch at times, is how disjointed opponents would get when Atleti got them in their clutches.
Mm-hmm. It was that the fear factor, the intimidation, the aggression, the hard work, just the fighting spirit Atletico had and that we have seen so much in the past that we now don't really see much anymore. And we definitely didn't see it on Wednesday. This was a really... By the end, this was an embarrassing result, a very limp performance. If you didn't watch, it finished 4-0, although I'm sure you've heard about it. This was a humiliation. It's the worst loss of the Simeone era, which it, in one sense is impressive, considering Simeone has been on the sideline for 7 full seasons now. But no, this was a bad game. That being said, I don't think this was a 4-0 game either. This was closer to a 2-1 game, in my opinion. Atletico hit woodwork twice, and the way Dortmund scored their goals, a couple of them were just really kind of fluky, if I can be honest.
Yeah, I went back and watched it after the game was over, which wasn't a particularly pleasant experience,
but
I must say, but on two of the goals, I'd say there was like pretty catastrophic defensive meltdowns, and then the other were kind of more individual mistakes, which happen. But and at times, I'd let it get away with them either because Oblak is world class, or just because they're defensively solid. But that didn't happen, so it was a poor night overall. And again, we've seen you can't have these problems and also not score. Which has been an issue for Atleti so far this season.
Yeah, pretty much since the Super Cup, we've been talking about how this team isn't scoring goals, how this team, despite all this talent and this depth, is not really playing anywhere near their potential. Michael Cayley, the esteemed Michael Cayley, produced the expected goals chart for this game. It finished 2.5 to Dortmund and 0.6 for Atletico in a 4-0 game. That's why I think this was much closer to 2-1. You look at Dortmund's goals. The first one from Witsel, it took a deflection off Saul that wrong-footed Oblak. I mean, that is not going to happen very often. The second goal was Juan Fran just completely getting burned by Hakimi, which was the 12th time out of like 25 times that Hakimi burned him.
It was a common occurrence.
Yeah, Juan Fran was atrocious. And then Hakimi set up Guerrero because there were no center backs there. The third goal what was the third goal? Oh, yeah, Juan Fran and Felipe were just kind of nowhere to be seen. Hakimi again down the wing. Lucas has to try to cover everyone because there's just no, there's no other defender there. And then Sancho was offside. I think he was slightly offside. Then he scored. The fourth goal, well, Atletico had just given up by that point. Felipe with a horrible back pass.
That was a particularly horrible one.
This really was a 2-1 game. And I hate to keep repeating myself, but there were errors Atletico made that they don't make very often. There were the unfortunate instances where Saul hit woodwork, Correa hit woodwork. One of those goes in, it's a totally different game, and we're having a totally different discussion where it's a close 2-1 loss at a difficult ground. Instead, we're going to talk about a 4-0 beatdown, and I want radical changes anyway, despite this result, and despite it just being one game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should talk a little bit about the goals. I think on the first one of the things that kind of was a problem for Atleti the whole match was that if you look when Witzel gets the ball outside of the box, there's 8 Atletico players, not including the goalkeeper, in the box.
Mm-hmm.
most of them kind of standing around marking nobody in particular, the air. And yeah, and then when he goes to shoot, Tomas Lemar have to sprint out to try to close him down because no one's there. So, I mean, okay, it's from outside the box. It's a low percentage chance, but still, you can't give these opportunities to Dortmund.
No, we talked about it on Monday. This is a really talented... This was the worst case scenario. This is a really, really talented team with a lot of bright attacking talent. With a surprisingly strong defense as well. Atletico didn't really challenge them a whole lot, despite that kind of bright period early in the second half. This is a really talented young team. They're the hottest team on the continent. I don't think there's much argument there as to their form and what it's been like for the past few weeks. They're also really, really good at home. They always have been. It's a huge stadium with a really difficult atmosphere. That said, that first goal was a fluke. It really was. It was, yeah, sure, there was a little static defending, but the first goal was just, what do you do with that? That's not anything that's going to go in very often.
Yeah, I still think if you think back to Atletico, one of the things that they've always done is close players down quite quickly. So I think even just in general, it's unusual that Atleti were getting out to block the shot from coming in the first place. There certainly was a degree of flukiness to it, but I just think the defending leading up to it kind of... I mean, it was wide open, essentially, for Witzel. He could have taken 3 touches if he wanted to. It was a bad night all around, I think.
Yeah. And then we talked about the other goals and how pretty much all of them were created through Hakimi and through just individual mistakes. I mentioned how horrible Juan Fran was. I'm not going to make mince words here. He was atrocious. And Felipe was good in attack, but as not for the first time this season, he was a little lax defensively. I mean, he's lost a step, and I don't know how much of it is due to the broken leg he suffered 7 months ago, but he has clearly lost a step. And I don't think you can clearly argue he's this team's best choice at left back anymore. He's not.
Well, I mean, if you were to ask me, I would say that Felipe was the worst of the two fullbacks. I mean, you can certainly make a strong case for Juan Fran. I'm not doubting that. But I thought Felipe, I mean, we sort of, this was, again, the worst case scenario is that he comes back from this pretty devastating injury and the sort of dynamic left back he once was is a bit gone, it seems. There's just that certain degree of danger. I mean, when Felipe was in the box. I mean, the last 2 seasons, Felipe has probably been one of Atleti's best attacking players as a fullback, which is pretty insane. And he's got a lot of mileage on his legs. So it's not really surprising, but it's something they need to address sooner rather than later, which makes the Johnny thing weirder. But, you know, whatever. Yeah. He'll allegedly be back next season. We'll see.
Yeah, I just have to get through this season first. Felipe also had, you know, the PSG links in the summer. I'm not going to use that as an excuse. I think he is committed to the cause. But yeah, it does make the whole Johnny loan a bit worse, considering Felipe has been far from sterling this season. and Lucas, and poor Lucas, man. Like, poor Lucas had to cover for everybody other than Godin. Even Godin was kind of wandering a couple times. And Lucas kept getting burned because he had to cover for three other defenders.
And it's the same thing that happened in the Villarreal game, too. Lucas and Jose Ma were both left exposed on multiple occasions. And it happened again in this match. So, yeah, I agree with you. I feel bad for him. It was a rough night.
I mean, he wasn't good, but you understand why. He had to cover for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it was... You know, praise to him. He covered a lot of ground. He had to. And he was, I mean, of that back line, you look at him, three old dudes and Lucas, so he was covering for all of their aged legs.
Before I get into the radical changes section of the program, we talked on Monday about Atletico's away form in La Liga and how, okay, maybe there are some concerns there, but they've also played some really tough games away. Their last seven Champions League games away from home, Rob. One win, four draws, two defeats. They've scored four goals, conceded 10, and they've been shut out four times in those seven games.
It's just kind of weird how the last two seasons Atleti's Champions League group stage form has been so bad. I mean, there seems to have been a change somewhere, and I'm not entirely sure what it is that caused it, but probably a collection of factors, but... It's very weird, and this is why I said my fear about the goal-scoring thing was at an 8, because when you're away from home, you need some goals, because oftentimes the home side's going to score. So when you're not doing that, it's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, Atletico used to be pretty strong away from home in the Champions League, but now it seems like there is a reliance on getting results at home, and this team is now, and always has been, stronger at home in Europe than they have away.
The home is different. I mean, that's another factor to it as well. Sure. The home is not the same.
Sure.
This
is the most. These are the most goals Atletico have ever conceded in a Champions League game away under Simeone. I think in any European game under Simeone, actually, because I don't think they've ever been hit for four in a Europa League game. Thinking about it, no, they haven't.
You wouldn't think so, no.
No, and yeah, just. All-around bad day at the office, even though the scoreline was kind of flattering to Dortmund, it still wasn't a good enough performance from Atleti. I think that's kind of objectively obvious.
Yeah, and I think it's a shame. I mean, we talked about how the Dortmund defense did do well, but I think at the same time, you look at their team, you say that's their weakest point. Their attack is what makes them so strong. Atleti probably could have benefited from being a little bit more forward-thinking. I mean, we all knew that Simeone would keep it tight, but that may have perhaps been a more beneficial strategy than just trying to sit back on a very talented attacking team.
I mean, it was weird. The first half an hour, I think Atletico were actually pretty good. Dortmund had about, like, 1.5 good chances. Atletico looked pretty comfortable, but then... as they tend to do on occasions, particularly in big games away, they kind of get too deep, they kind of burrow too deep defensively. That opens things up, it allows the opponent to probe, and, you know, they got a lucky goal, but they still got a goal. And that put Atletico behind. Rodri comes on at halftime. Rodri, I know, it's shocking, Rodri comes in, Atletico instantly looked better. Rodri comes in. Atletico played pretty well for about 20 minutes. Then Guerrero comes on for Borussia Dortmund, and they reestablish their control over the game. And that was really it from there. In the interest of forward thinking, though, Rob, I'm going to propose some changes to what's going on.
All right, let me hear it.
Before I get into that, I know I keep delaying this, but before I get into that, it's important to recognize before I just tear this team. Apart, it's important to recognize that this is only one game, that Atletico could very well win the reverse fixture next month and go back atop the group. So, in a vacuum, this really isn't that big a deal. The scoreline shouldn't be of concern. A loss is a loss. Whether it's 1-0 or 4-0, a loss is a loss. And Atletico still have a good chance, I think, to top this group. After Dortmund, they have Monaco at home and Club Brugge away, the two worst teams in the group. And they still have a 5-point cushion over those two teams. So,
but there are concerning patterns.
Yes, there are very concerning patterns, and a lot of it is down to Simeone's team selections. For example, I don't think Juan Fran should play the rest of this calendar year. I don't even want to see him in the Copa del Rey. Santiago Arias says he needs to become the starting right back. End of discussion. Juan Fran has been terrible in big games. Hakimi just slaughtered him. Alfonso Pedraza slaughtered him when Atleti went to Villarreal last weekend. Juan Fran is past it. I really would not be so enamored to see him even against, you know, bottom half teams in La Liga, because they're pretty strong now too. Santiago Arias needs to get a run in this team, and Simeone needs to understand that. That right back, Juan Fran's service to this club has been remarkable. He is a legend. He's a stalwart. That's great. But his time has passed. It passed last year. Atletico got away with it. They're not going to get away with it again.
I mean, this is a hard one for me, because I feel like this is something we've known for a while. And it just strikes me as weird that Simeone hasn't recognized how pressing of an issue this is, because I agree, Juan Fran's been terrible. I mean, he's totally cooked. He has so many minutes in his legs in important matches. And yes, we can't undervalue his contribution, but you're right, he can't play. But the thing is, Simeone's not going to trust Arias, right? That's been very clear, because Arias has barely played since he's come to the club, a club that is in desperate need of fullbacks on both sides, and perhaps more than just two. So, it's a struggle.
And you remember, Arias wasn't a Simeone choice. Simeone wanted to keep Rusalko. Which, to the people in the Into the Calderon mentions, saying Letty should never have sold Rusalko. Rusalko is currently hurt for Inter, so
yeah,
wouldn't helped either. If Juan Fran is cooked, it's been the case for a while. But Cholo does not trust Arias. Arias was never his choice. That being said, I don't think Simeone has a choice now. Juan Fran has been that bad, and he was that bad. He wasn't the reason for this loss, but Hakimi notched 3 assists from his side. There has to be blame doled out there. I think one of Saul or Koke needs to be benched for upcoming fixtures. Saul's form this season has been concerning. I think he played pretty well, actually, on Wednesday. And when he was substituted, Atletico almost instantly got worse. But his form overall this season hasn't been good enough. Koke, again, just kind of going in and out of things. He's not playing in his best position, but
Koke just has, like, no form. It's, like, not excellent. It's not awful. He's just there. He does stuff, and it doesn't really create anything or add much to the team. Koke would be my preference.
The issue with that is that when Koke doesn't play, you notice he's gone. When he does play, you don't really notice all the time that he's there. 89% pass completion, 101 touches on Wednesday, but only one key pass. Took a lot of poor touches. He worked really hard in defense, but is that really what Atletico needed? Atletico needed someone to kind of unlock this defense, and Tomas Lemar wasn't going to do it. Griezmann didn't get enough touches. It had to be Koke. Saul, I think, tried his best when he was able to get forward, but he needs a breather. And 20 minutes isn't really enough for him. Koke, I think, always needs a rest because he just plays so much. One of those two has to come out for an upcoming fixture or two to give Tomas Partey a little more time, to give Vitolo some time, even give Gelson Martins, who has apparently disappeared, and whose face is on milk cartons all over Madrid, to give those guys some time.
Well, I mean, see, the thing is that the more concerning thing is Simeone has his 1 to 2 substitutes he trusts, and then everyone else just doesn't really get minutes like that.
Yeah,
Kalinic got some minutes when Costa was hurt, but Vitolo, haven't seen him. Gelson, haven't seen him.
Not even in the squad.
Just like Gelson's they're there, but they're not doing anything.
Gelson's not even in the squad. And explain exactly to me why Simeone used only 2 subs in this game. Correa. Yeah,
that was absolutely mind-boggling.
Correa and Rodri. No Kalinic, no Arias, no Vitolo. Not even Savage. I mean, hey, you want to keep this at 1-0, you know? Simeone did it, or Mauro Burgos did it at Arsenal last year, threw on Savage when it was 1-0 Arsenal. Why not? Just use somebody.
Yeah, I think substitutions have been a problem all season. We've seen consistently that the decision-making on that front has been pretty poor. The subs that have come on haven't had much effect. I mean, the best one was Borja Garcés, who was a teenager.
Funny.
That scored a goal.
It's funny you mentioned Borja Garcés, Rob, because I think he should start. And I think I think Antoine Griezmann should be benched.
Oh.
That's my hot take for the day.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. That's not where I was expecting that to go, but I see where you're coming from.
He is not in form. He hasn't been in form for a good chunk of this season. Now, of course, he led France to the World Cup, and that look at Luka Modric's start this season. Modric has been pretty poor to start this season. Griezmann has put in a few really good displays to start this season, but in Atleti's biggest games so far, he just hasn't been there. He has been quite poor since the Betis game a couple weeks ago. Was invisible, absolutely invisible on Wednesday.
I agree. I had concerns early in the season that he didn't look great, and it's understandable. He played the entirety of the World Cup. Basically every single minute. I'm sure he got substituted on occasion, but near as makes no difference. So he needs a rest, because he's played almost every game for Atleti. And I think the problem we've seen over the years is that throwing someone else up there with Griezmann is not often successful. Griezmann needs a certain type of partner. So I think probably Costa and Borja would be a better combination than Griezmann and Borja, for example.
Costizmann, they need a rest from each other. The chemistry, the chemistry that was there a few months ago isn't there right now, and it's been there only on a few occasions this season. Griezmann, by the way, has only been offered rest once this season, when he was pulled in the Huesca game when Atletico were already 3-0 up. And that was to get him ready for the Madrid derby, which he didn't play all that well in. So he needs a rest. And Borja Garcés keeps making the squad. He keeps doing impressive things on the training ground. Why not give him another chance against La Real this weekend?
And to be honest with you, I feel like Simeone is more likely to trust an academy product than he is one of the new signings, which is just bizarre. But
it is.
I think from what we've seen, that is the case.
I also am interested in seeing, at some point, a Costa-Kalinic pairing, and I'll tell you why. I know that they're both kind of similar. They both hang out around the box, kind of take up bodies. I think the way Dortmund were swarming Costa yesterday, every time, I don't know if you saw it, but every time the ball even approached Diego, he was getting swarmed by two or three defenders. And that completely cut him off, and it suffocated Atleti's attack. Which is still reliant to a degree on long balls up the pitch to Costa. He was just getting mobbed every time he touched the ball. So no wonder he didn't play well. With Costa and Kalinic,
to give you an idea of how reliant on long balls Atleti are, I mean, Diego Gunin had the most key passes in this match.
Yes, he did. He had four key passes. Four key passes. Shout out to Diego Gunin, who actually played pretty well.
I mean, he's also a long ball king. If you need a ball over the top, you call Diego. He's got you.
Yeah. But it's...
I know what you mean with the Kalinic thing. I mean, it's a little bit like 90s English football. Go two big men up front and just kind of batter the door down. But that may be what Atleti need right now.
And Costa and Griezmann isn't working. We haven't seen Costa and Correa together either. Correa has barely played as a second striker this season, and when he has, he's been up top with Griezmann, which, as we know, doesn't benefit either of them. So Costa keeps getting swarmed. That's fine. Costa's a decent enough playmaker. There are decent enough playmakers in this team to where when Costa gets mobbed by two or three defenders, Kalinic can still be hanging out around the box and take two or three good opportunities. I'm interested in seeing that at some point. Why not? Yeah, as you said, why not go old school, like 80s, 90s Premier League? Why not? Nothing else is working.
I think for a team that's dying for goals, it may not be the worst idea.
Finally, I mentioned this on Monday, but I'm going to say it again. Rodri cannot be given any more time off. I don't know. I started thinking about this yesterday after the lineup came out. When Rodri came over, there were incentives attached to his transfer fee. About $5 million in variables. I don't know if it's a minutes thing. I don't know what exactly those incentives are. But considering the recent breakdown in relations between Atletico and Villarreal, perhaps there is a chance that it is minutes based, and Atletico don't want to pay the $5 million because screw Villarreal. That being said,
that'll be very Atleti.
Yeah, Shout out to the cheap Atleti of old. That being said, Rodri, we saw yet again on Wednesday where he comes in. And Atleti instantly, just with a snap of a finger, they regain control of the game. They are more assured and calm in possession. And Rodri offers them another shield in defense. Rodri cannot be benched anymore. Rodri needs to start from the off. I mean, I know Atleti got hit for 3 goals when he came off the bench in the second half, but that wasn't all down to him, as we've discussed.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think he's been the player of the season so far, and it's not particularly close. And he's not a guaranteed starter, which is just bizarre. I don't know what it is. I think that is certainly plausible. the incentives theory, we've seen this before.
I haven't heard anything, but it's certainly possible considering how many times Rodri has started on the bench and how many times he has been substituted or come on as a substitute. Despite his influence and his very obvious influence that Simeone surely sees.
Well, and the other thing that's kind of occurred to me, and I know there hasn't been much reporting or any news coming out about it, is the whole Sporting thing. Because I believe it was, I think Wolves came to a £15 million settlement or something with Sporting, so I wonder if something like that is going on and Atleti are a bit strapped.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I mean, I think Sporting are still pretty upset at what happened.
Almost certainly.
I don't think Atleti care, but because Sporting endangered their players' well-being. That being said, who knows if there's a minute's attachment to Gelson, but assuming there isn't one, it's so strange that he is not even in the squad. Like, having him start from the bench, that's understandable. Not even in the squad. And Vitolo's in the squad, and Vitolo's still not playing. We haven't seen Vitolo since August. So, that's awesome. He spent $40 million.
I feel like I've never seen Vitolo.
Yeah.
I don't really know that I've seen. He's never really had any extended run in the team, and certainly not one in which he performed particularly well. And this was an all Simeone signing, so he may be a little bit pissed about the Arias thing, but this is your guy, and he's just kind of sitting around gathering dust here.
Yeah, paying $40 million to sit on the bench. Good stuff.
Supposedly one of our, perhaps he is our Arda Turan, our transfer embargo punishment.
When he starts beating journalists, you let me know.
Yes. Hopefully it never gets that bad.
Finally, I think there needs to be an attitude shift. We mentioned this at the off, but that fighting spirit, that warrior kind of attitude is gone in these big games. And though teams in La Liga have increasingly kind of figured out what Atletico's pressure points are, and Simeone has sometimes he's countered effectively and Atletico have gone on to win and put in good performances. Other times he hasn't. And, you know, I keep mentioning that this wasn't a 4-0 game. This was closer to a 2-1 game. But Dortmund gave Atletico the ball on several occasions and defended well enough to back it up. And I didn't feel like there was the requisite intensity, the requisite urgency needed for this kind of game.
Yeah, certainly. It's a big game away in the Champions League, and considering how poor they were in the group stage last season, you would think that there would be more of a concerted effort to not do that again. But it's been good so far. Don't get us wrong again, one game, but 4-0 never feels good.
No, it doesn't. It feels kind of bad, actually.
Yes, quite bad. Quite bad. I think that's fair.
As we've said, Atleti still have that 5-point cushion between second and third place. Just checking 538's Champions League kind of predictions. Just doing that real quick. Atletico are 70% to finish second in the group. Still 27% chance to top it. Just as long as you make the knockouts, that's what matters. And as we have seen in the past, winning the group sometimes doesn't give you the best draw.
Yeah, I totally agree. We've seen it time and time again, especially in the last few seasons. Team wins the group, and you know, Bayern Munich or PSG finished in second in theirs, and congratulations, here's your round of 16 match. So we'll see. I think Atleti were done a huge favor by Monaco, particularly shitting the bed and firing Jardim and hiring TT, the legend. You know, he may be a good manager, but I don't think they're going to be good right now. I can tell you that.
No.
Especially with Falcao injured. So I think it's fairly nailed on. Atleti should be fine. To go through at least in second in this group. I'm fairly confident of that, even if this game was particularly awful.
97% to make the round of 16. So
pretty good.
They're going to be there. And remember, if they win the reverse next month at the Wanda Metropolitano, they will go back atop the group. But
which can certainly happen.
It can, but not without some of these changes. It won't.
Correct. They need to get some kind of form going before then if they're going to have a chance.
On a positive note, I think this will inspire them. I mean, after the Celta Vigo loss in September, Atletico went on a pretty nice run. Started to look like the Atleti of old, but they've kind of backtracked since then. They've kind of taken another step back. But I think this could very well inspire them, which brings us to this weekend's game back in La Liga against Real Sociedad. I think Teo Hernandez is going to be back finally from his infinite suspension.
I'm sure he'll get a rousing reception.
Yeah.
I think we all may be looking forward to that one just a little bit.
Atletico are in fifth, 4 wins, 4 draws, and 1 defeat. They're on 16 points. La Real, 4 points behind them. They are even across the board. 3 wins, 3 draws, 3 defeats. They are coming off a boar draw against Girona just 1 week after they beat the stuffing out of Athletic in the Basque Derby. The book on La Real, kind of the same as it's ever been. They have my son, Mikel Oyarzabal. I love him. He's a terrific young player. Our old friend Miguel Angel Moya is there as well.
Yes, the legend.
The legend. Yeah. La Real, they do have talent, but you know, they're missing one of their key figures in Xavi Prieto, who has retired. They're kind of going through a transitional phase, and they're giving kind of the keys to Oyarzabal. William Jose just signed a really lengthy extension. The 26-year-old forward has 3 goals in La Liga this season. They're kind of going through a transitional period. They are usually much stronger at home than they are away. And considering how Atletico were humbled midweek, you got to think that they are a good bet to bounce back on Saturday night.
Well, yeah, I mean, looking at their squad, I like about 2/3 of their squad. they have some good players, to be sure.
Yeah, Zaldúa from Leganés, they bought him over the summer. He's a really solid fullback.
Yep, for sure. Mikel Moreno as well. Less about that, the better. They have Isha Armendi as well, who's been there for a while now.
He's terrific.
I mean, he couldn't do it at Real Madrid, but he's always been very, very good for Real Sociedad. So, yeah, you know, it should be an interesting game. I think Atleti could certainly lose it. I do really like Mikel Moreno as well. It's kind of a shame Newcastle sold him because he was really good for them. But
and they also have the ghost of Sandro Ramirez.
Yeah, that one of the weirdest player careers we may be looking at here. It's gone a bit sideways for him.
Remember, I remember us kind of banging the drum like a year and a half ago saying, sign Sandro to be the third forward, and then the transfer ban came down and he went to Everton.
Well, then they almost did. I mean, his release clause was something ridiculously cheap at Malaga, because as we've seen, Malaga are entirely the smartest team around.
It was a $6 million clause.
That was just crazy. He scored, 15 goals that season, something like that?
He was great.
He was amazing for them. It was like, this is a no-brainer. Go get him. And since then, he didn't do anything at Everton because they were in flux, and then Sevilla were weird last year, and will he play for Real Sociedad? Who knows?
Yeah. So
not looking good.
They do have a lot of interesting players, though, and it is a talented team. They have a good coach in Garitano, so it could be an interesting game. I think it will be. Atletico at home, though, I think they're going to pull this one out. What's your score on prediction?
It's a tough one, you know. I'll go for an angry 1-0.
Define an angry 1-0 if you could.
An angry 1-0 is where they just kick the bejesus out of the other team. I mean, I seem to remember them doing that to Yanisei last year, so if they want to sort of just reprise that and then just get a crappy goal, just get 3 points. I don't care how they do it this time. They need to bounce back quickly.
This is a pretty winnable game. You know, Atletico have won their last five. They've won the last five meetings at home against La Real. So I think they will be favored. They should be favored. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win.
Oh, look at this positivity after a 4-0 pumping away from home in the Champions League.
You know, my faith may be misplaced, but I think Simeone is going to make changes. I think he's going to send a message, or a message is going to be sent by someone about what happened on Wednesday. And this is a good place to start the bounce back. Atletico have three pretty winnable fixtures before the next international break. And they also have the rematch with Dortmund coming up. So,
what would be your adjective of choice to describe what the Atletico training sessions are going to be like this week before the match?
Tense.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with tense.
That's a good one.
That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, Atletico's not the type of team where you imagine everything is all hunky-dory after a loss.
I think there's going to be quite a few expletives.
Well, one would imagine. Yeah, there may be some Mono Borgo thing going on.
Indeed. It wouldn't be the worst thing. This team,
no,
this
no, team certainly not.
Does need the wake-up call ahead of Saturday night. So that is the late game on the Saturday slate. Elsewhere in Primera on Saturday, we have Athletic and Valencia. Barcelona and Real Madrid have the Clásico on Sunday as well.
Woohoo. Thrilling, the Clásico. The best match in all of football, allegedly.
Yeah. And, no Messi or Cristiano. It's going to be kind of weird.
Yes, it's going to be extremely weird.
So that will just about do it for us, Rob, unless you have anything else.
No. I think that was all right. You know, I think we came into the light at the end of the tunnel after a bad match.
Yeah, I felt we got kind of dark middle of the show. We got kind of ominous there, but we ended on a positive note, and that's good for everyone involved.
Yes, certainly.
All right, that's the show. Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. Follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. This is all on Twitter. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Remember to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. And become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat, where you get access to bonus pods. We're going to do a rumor roundup next week, Rob.
All right.
We are going to...
We've missed the roundup. There haven't been many rumors.
The rumor roundup is back. We will do it after the match against Real Sociedad, so look for that early next week. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat, the only place you can find it. All right, we will be back next week to talk about what will hopefully be an Atletico win over La Real. But until then, adios.